Welcome to Cruising Through Cinema. I'm Dennis.
And I'm Dyer, coming to you live from this steel town of America in Ampipe, Pennsylvania.
So, question.
Answer.
I don't know if this is the time for this, but I'm gonna just do it. Is this a coal town or a steel town?
I think it's a steel town.
Because that's what I thought, but a review I watched on, as I frequently do after I watch these films, I go on YouTube and watch a review, and I found a review from like 11 months ago, and there's like 20,000 views, so it was a decent channel, and the guy kept referring to it as a coal mine. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is a steel town.
He's retarded.
And they also said he wanted to be an electrical engineer, and I'm pretty sure he said he wanted to be a mechanical engineer. Yeah, so regardless, this review, it was fine, but there were some errors that bothered me.
Okay, so that, I do have to get one thing off my chest though before we start get too much into the weeds. When he says that he wants to go to college to be an engineer, my first thought, because of where we live or where I live, I went, why didn't he just go to Rose Holman? I was like, oh my God, I've lived here way entirely too long. That's my first thought.
I thought you were going to say, oh, what, do you really have to go to college to become a train conductor? Yeah. This movie is set in the fictional, I'm assuming it's fictional town of Ampipe.
Where was Flashdance filmed?
Which stands for America. Like, I think that's a thing. It's like a mill town where it's like the town's named after the mill that happens. So like it's they just shortened American Pipe Company to Ampipe, which, okay, if it's Ampipe, pipe is made out of steel. It's a steel mine.
Exactly. And like, his daddy,
you don't mine steel, but it's a steel foundry town.
Yeah. His dad even says they work at the steel foundry. Or the
steel mill. That's a difficult thing to say if you're not ready to say it.
Exactly.
Steel mill.
Right. If you haven't been. Exactly.
Okay. First of all, this is a show dedicated to the filmography of the one, the only, the Running Man himself, Thomas Eugene Cruise. I know it's Math Power.
Thomas Eugene Math Power Cruise the 17th.
Yeah, and the 17th and the Eugene are added by us.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So we are on the sixth film, which what did we watch this week, Ryan?
We watched a movie called All the Right Moves, starring Thomas Cruise, Craig T. Nelson, Leah.
Are you talking about Leah Thompson?
Leah Thompson. See, I got the first name right. Yeah. And that was about it as far as memorable actors.
Yes, directed by Michael Chapman. And do you know who one of the producers was on this movie?
L. Ron Hubbard.
I don't believe so. Think no. Comedy. Think female comedy. Black and white television.
Lucille Ball?
Lucille Ball was one of the producers of this film.
Really?
So, and she was an older lady at this time.
I mean, yeah, because she was.
So,
yeah.
I mean, she was.
She was probably up there.
I mean, this was a risque film. We saw Tom Cruise's butt and Leah Thompson chesticles.
We saw more than Tom Cruise's butt.
Yeah, we did.
Three words. Tom Cruise Bush
Hedges.
No, we saw Bush.
Yeah, so this was the fourth film. That's crazy. This is our sixth film, and the last four, which includes this one, all came out in
83.
In 83, yes. The primordial ooze of what will become Tom Cruise movie star status.
So Flashdance came out in 1983, too, and Jennifer Beals in that was a dancer.
There was a sequel to the year 1983?
Yes. Flashdance came out in 1983 as well, and she lived in a steel town, and she was a dancer. any chance that's Tom Cruise in a parallel universe.
maybe this is the, maybe that was the football, the team they played against that they choked.
Don't get me. Okay. Yeah. I got thoughts on that. We'll get there. I got thoughts on that.
Yeah. Coach, I have my thoughts about Coach.
I do too. It's funny how he played a coach in the movie, and then
this
was
basically Then he had a sitcom that went on for
Coach.
Coach was the show for you and I, and we are in our mid-30s. Coach was the show that our parents watched that we kind of like, oh, it's about a football coach. That might be good, and you would kind of watch it when you like when your parents were in your room. Well, your parents were in the living room watching Coach, and you'd be playing with your Power Ranger figures and your Ninja Turtles.
Exactly.
Like I was aware of Coach. Did I ever sit down and watch an episode of Coach? No, but I do know that there was the Van Dyke guy was Jerry his assistant coach.
Jerry Van Dyke.
Yeah, and he was the squirrely assistant.
Why do I feel like that led into Cheers? I know it didn't, but I feel like every show in that time frame led into Cheers.
I think like, Coach was after Cheers.
No, like what I'm saying is it didn't lead into Cheers. Like it was like. Somebody in Coach showed up in the show Cheers. You know what I'm saying? Like Frasier was a like
oh like Frasier like coach, was a back, like coach yeah, yeah. like Coach would go there after a loss,
right? Or
and talk to Frasier Crane.
Frasier Crane was Frasier. I'm thinking of I was thinking of Becker, but yeah, Frasier right spun off of Cheers.
Becker was last week there or last episode.
Yeah, but so yeah, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this film, shall we?
Yes. Yeah. So overall, I would say the synopsis.
Hang on. We still got to talk about some stuff. The '80s were a much simpler time, right? Especially early '80s, because the movie starts and there's no opening credits. It's just a bunch of people walking out of the steel mill. And like,
a
graphic just comes up and just says all the right moves in my anus.
Yeah. So they must have really. So this came out the same. Like, I think Flashdance came out earlier in the year.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure what happened was Flashdance obviously had a kick-ass soundtrack for the time.
What a feeling.
Yeah. So I think Flashdance the like boat broke a bunch of records with the soundtrack, and yeah. I think that's what they're trying to do with All the Right Moves because the post credits, like when the movie ends, did you notice anything in particular?
That the song sucked.
The song wasn't good, but no. Before they said like any of the actors got credited, they. The rolled credits for the soundtrack, like all the songs they were by.
That's right. They did. Yeah. Yeah.
It just struck me as odd.
What a feeling. Bah, bah,
bah. Yes. But this is a movie starring Tom Cruise, which, he portrays, the character Stefan Jasinowski.
Stefan Polish last name.
Yeah, it was very much. I mean, there
dirty,
was even
he's a dirty, dirty Polak.
Yeah, and we even get the line, "What this Polak pussy not good enough for you?" Says he wants to go to college, to the washed up has been.
Yeah, we did get that line. Yeah. Yes,
and hats off to YouTube. They're really their game of they've really stepped up their game in terms of films on YouTube free with ads.
This was on YouTube free with ads?
Yes.
I watched it on Hulu. You know it was on Hulu, right?
Oh, well, no, I did watch it on Hulu. I'm confusing it with something else I watched. My bad. But no, this film is in it. But it stars Tom Cruise as Stefan Polak.
Dirty, dirty Polak.
As an ambitious young football star trapped in a dying mill town unless gridiron skills can win him a way out. And that, honestly, that's pretty much it. It's pretty short and sweet.
You know, I think I remember seeing this on TV back in the day, like a late Saturday, like a Saturday when college football wasn't on or something. Like, you know, how like ABC or NBC or something used to show like mid-Saturday afternoon movies, like starting at like 3 o'clock. I think I, but I, for some reason I thought he was a running back, and for some reason I thought John Madden like appeared in the movie. So maybe I was just high.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe I had, maybe it was a fever dream. Maybe I was at home sick from school.
Sounds like you're combining a few things. But yeah, it was the kind of film where I think the script was more like, was this based on a book? Because it felt like it was based on a book.
I feel because like it was.
It feels like there was more there and more of a commentary on like the economy of the time of how the steel mill town is dying and this kid's trying to get out and his girlfriend can't. And it's kind of a commentary on like the fact that this athletic jock can get out, but the brainy like band girl can't because they don't give scholarships for, you know, being good at the clarinet.
Did this make Leah Thompson's career?
I don't know because she
goes on to star in Back to the Future.
I would say she's best known for Back to the Future, but what else was she in anything before Back to the Future? Because Back to the Future was 85, yes.
So she was in this in 83.
I mean, it definitely got her the. It probably helped her get back to the role in Back to the Future.
She is known for. Let me just go through her filmography right here.
It's definitely it.
Oh, how do we forget this? Okay, so she was in Jaws 3D, which no one ever saw. That was like her second movie.
It's one of those movies people know about and no one's ever actually seen.
She was in. She goes from All the Right Moves to Red Dawn. She does a movie called The Wildlife.
She was in Red Dawn. I always forget that.
When she goes Back to the Future. And then, you know where we know her from? You know where we've seen her before? Howard the fucking Duck.
Oh, yes. Go back on the Talking Marvel Plus section of this podcast feed. And you will hear our thoughts on Howard the Duck. Spoiler. We really liked it.
Howard the Duck.
Talk about banging film. Or gosh, I can't talk tonight. Talk about banging soundtracks.
She's also in a movie in like 1988 called Casual Sex.
She kind of had some of that in this film.
I guess. Then she's in Back to the Future Part 2, Back to the Future Part 3. Yeah, I mean this kind of made her career. She was in Dennis the Menace.
Oh. Was she like the mom?
She was in Little Rascals.
Wait. What? She must be okay. I'm confused. She must be the mothers in those films, because those came out about the same time. I probably saw those both at the Dollars Theater.
Oh, you remember the TV series Ed back in the day with Will Cavanaugh?
Yeah.
She was in that.
Interesting.
Oh, so is Julia What's-Her-Face from Modern Family.
Okay, get out of the rabbit hole.
I can't
get throwing you a rope. You're so deep. You're so deep.
Okay, all right. I'm back out. I'm out.
So this film, I will say, and I think I messaged you as I saw it and was kind of vague. But this had the most realistic portrayal of what it's like to be like a 17, 18-year-old in high school who's trying to like go on, get it on with a lady. First of all, though, does anybody's town actually have like a makeout point? Or is that just a thing in films?
Well, no, ours don't. Ours didn't.
Yeah, I don't think that's an actual thing. None of the towns I've lived in have had that.
So...
But no, when he's like trying to get with her up at makeout point, and then she basically he tries to like kind of you know force himself like teenage boys do,
and then she her.
What?
He finger banged her and got her close, like it's like she had that post nut clarity. She's like, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this. I need to go home.
Yeah, and every high school guy can relate to the like we're so close. And then
fast forward to the end, right? Real quick, when they have sex. Tom Cruise is obviously a Catholic, right? That's very implied because they're all Catholics because they're Polish and everything. He takes off his crucifix and puts it in his pocket of his jeans before having sex.
Yes.
And I realize that is the most Catholic thing to do. If I take off this crucifix and put it away, God won't see me having premarital sex.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad Tom Cruise got out because he had almost kind of been typecast, right? risky business. He was a teenager in high school, angst, wanting to have sex. In this movie, he was a teenager who played football, angsty, wanting to have sex. I'm kind of glad that he got out of that role, because he could have been typecast as that guy for his entire career.
And then the other thing, that he went from The Outsiders, which, based on what you read, a lot of his parts, in which we watched, but a lot of his parts were edited out of the final cut of The Outsiders. Right. But he also had The Outsiders this year, and then also had that accent, and he kind of played an accent in this one too. Like, he kind of played like the good old, not, I don't want to say good old boy, I don't know what the word is, but like, he's got, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, he's kind of got like a affectation to his voice, like kind of like a, I don't want to say a hick, but like, you know, like just kind of rough. Like non-educated sounding voice.
Right. Exactly.
But man, he's got some good drafting skills.
He does.
I mean, his vertical Gothic lettering, I'm sure, is just the thing to marvel at.
Yeah, I kind of want some of that, actually.
Yeah, he can go vertical on my Gothic.
Well, easy there, bud. I thought that was for the linebacker that knocked up his girlfriend.
Mm.
He calls him a dumb bastard. Remember that? He's like, "You dumb bastard."
Correct. I will say, so you and I both played high school football. I will say the interactions and the way they portrayed it were kind of, I would say, pretty good.
Yeah, it was almost pretty spot on. Yeah,
pretty spot on, especially for the time. I mean, I wouldn't say until like the film Friday Night Lights was that ever really done well at the, like the high school level. I mean, like Rudy obviously does a great job at portraying what it's like to be on a football team. And it's highly regarded. Friday Night Lights, there's the dynamic of the juvenile behavior.
Yeah.
Plus the, like, taking it a little too serious. And then the hard-o coaches that take it way too serious.
Yeah, why did Craig T. Nelson have a golf club? So he could beat the shit out of his players?
Yeah, so Craig T. Nelson, that was the other thing I disagreed with on the review that I watched. They implied that Craig T. Nelson was like a... had like kind of a similar black background to Steph,
I disagree with that.
Yeah, and I disagree with that. And they also implied like he was a sympathetic character. No, he's just an asshole. I honestly thought at the end of the film, I honestly thought he was going to stay in the Still Town.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought he was ampipe for life.
He was a fucking prick, because. We'll get into it, but, like, we might as well just get into it now, right? So they're gearing up. It's home. Like, it's the biggest game of their week, right? So, like, they're playing the number three team ranked in the country, like, in the state.
In the state.
It's like when you and I played. Like, when you and I played, like, we always took on Carmel or Ben Davis or Warren Central, right? All those teams are, like, in the top five, and we always got our asses kicked. But, like, so they're, like, taking on, like, they're number three in the state. They're, like, but there's, like, hey, we have a chance to win. We're all seniors. And, like, in practice, Tom Cruise, Stefan in the movie, is a defensive back.
So he's like, Tom Zbikowski, for those who follow Notre Dame football.
Yeah, except Zbikowski didn't have stupid pass interference penalties that lose.
Yes, but the human body craves contact, and he embraces that philosophy.
And it's true. So he... In practice, like, the quarterback throws a pass, they're running the playbook, right? They're running the plays that they know that their rival are going to run. And he, like, tackles him. He grabs him by the shoulders and pulls him down. And he's like, oh, that was a great defense. And the coach is like, no, that's pass interference. If you do that in a game, they're going to blatant pass interference. If you do it in a game, they're going to flag us for it. He's like, oh, whatever. No, it's not. That wasn't. And this is where I agree with the coach. He goes, no, you're going to do it my way. You're not going to, like, you're going to do it my way. It's the highway, essentially. And it was blatant pass interference. It wasn't just, like, a little contact. Like, he tackled him. He pulls him down.
Yeah.
I was like, Stefan, back off.
Borderline unnecessary roughness.
Yeah, absolutely. So, did you notice it was always fucking raining in this film?
Yes. Always. They love the rain.
So they, you know.
That's Pennsylvania in the fall.
Maybe. So they have the pep rally, right? That's where big old dumb bulldog middle linebacker tells Stefan he got his girlfriend pregnant, but he also got a full ride to USC, and he wants to go to USC, but then he's going to marry.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This high school team, they had some powerhouse recruiting.
Yeah, USC. Oh, before we get there.
Like, that was the part where it's like, so these are all like, I don't know. It just didn't, it struck West me Coast odd that all these like coastal yeah. schools of Pittsburgh.
Did you find
or Pennsylvania?
Did you find the whatchamacallit? The locker room scene where they're dancing around and nothing but shoulder pads and jock straps really homoerotic as well?
Yeah, with the like the lineman with his bare ass jock strap.
Yeah.
His assless jock strap. Which yes. I had one of those as a youth playing youth sports. Not comfortable.
I would imagine not.
Not comfortable at all. They're basically assless tidy whities.
Yeah, why? Why would you wear those?
I don't think I ever did, but you know how it is. Your dad's probably like, oh, I want to make sure my kid's going to have kids, so you're going to wear a jock.
My dad never made me wear a jock strap.
And you have a kid, so it worked out. I also, I have two kids, so hey.
I have a kid?
I said, yes, you have a kid, but I have two. And I wear the jock.
Right, so, but yeah, so they're in practice, they're gearing up for this game. Dumb linebackers, I got my girlfriend pregnant, you know, he's like, well, maybe, and he goes, we went up to Pittsburgh for the test, and Tom, and Stefan's like, well, just tell her to abort it. It was like, whoa, Tom.
Yeah, and he's Catholic.
He's Catholic. And I was like, maybe not. So then they go to the game, right? They ride school buses there, which I remember doing that, riding the school bus to the game, wearing all your gear. They play the game. They're ahead. It starts pouring down rain. It's a back and forth game, right? It's the last shot for Eastern or whoever they're playing. What do they do?
For those who haven't seen this film, they're basically playing the Friday Night Lights equivalent of Myland.
Exactly. They throw a pass, the exact pass they ran in practice, and Tom and Stefan tackles them.
Yes.
He straight up tackles him, throws the flag, and he's like, oh, come on, ref, that was a bullshit call. That was a good fucking tackle. And, like, the Bulldog middle linebacker was just like, oh, yeah, don't listen to fucking him, man. That was a great tackle. That was a great stop. Bullshit. It was pass interference.
It was blatant pass interference.
Yeah. So they stop him. Goal line stop, right? Fourth and one, they stop him.
They stop him, stuff him at the goal line. But Tom Cruise's staff.
13-7, right? I think. Anyway,
yeah.
So they're all celebrating. They come off the field. He puts the offense back on the field. And here's where you know I played football. I go, just kneel it, just do a quarterback sneak for like half a yard. The game's
over. Yeah, because they're on like the one. So a kneeling's risky.
Just do a QB sneak for half a yard or a yard, right? Game over. You know.
Yeah.
They call a run.
They run a halfback dive.
Yeah, with Vinny Testaverde and Vinny Salamanco, and he fumbles the ball. And
other team recovers it and scores a touchdown.
Touchdown wins.
Game.
And then the coach. Yeah, Vinny's upset. He's crying in the locker room, right?
Yeah, and then the coach comes out and basically screams at him, like, it's your fault. And then he's like,
calls him a bitch, and he's like, those are some. He goes, that's not. All I hear is this pussy whining. Like, really cry if you're going to cry. I was like, wow. And then Stefan goes, hey, it's not his fault. Like,
and then coach is like, yeah, you're right. If you didn't have that stupid pass interference, they would have never been down on the goal line.
And he's like, yeah, but it wasn't pass interference. He's like, yes, it was. And so he basically gets into a pissing match with the coach. And the coach is like, this is where the coach takes it too far. He goes, fuck you, you're off the team.
And then refuses to give him a ride home.
He has to ride with the cheerleaders. He like goes to get on the bus. He's like, what are you doing, son? He's like, I'm riding home. He's like, no, these are for players. You sit on the bus with the cheerleaders.
Yeah, and Steph is basically like, F that noise, and he just hitchhikes.
Yeah, and then he hitchhikes with the guy that picked him up earlier.
Yeah, like the town drunk.
That's the principal, I think. Or like he works in the lunchroom.
It's not the principal. The guy. There's no way that's the principal. The guy that makes the, it's the same guy that makes the joke about.
Yeah, but Polak's he picks him pussy. Up. But he picks him up. He yeah. And he works in the school because like he's going around like he's giving all the black guys high fives and stuff. Because like he's wearing a football letter jacket, so like he used. I'm guessing he's a guy that played and never grew up and left.
Yeah, and just yeah, whatever. He's a loser that never left the town.
Yeah,
and then was hoping Steph could do it for him.
And then they go and trash the coach's house.
Yeah,
like spray paint. You're a liar. You're a cheat.
Leave town. Yeah,
in town. Your wife's a dirty whore. I saw her with four cocks in her mouth last night.
Which this is this. I don't think they said that. This is where it's very much like Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, yeah. And like, coach wakes up, or the daughter wakes up. And she goes, "Dad, there's somebody out on the lawn." And like he turns on the light and sees everybody dumping out. And then like everyone ditches Stefan, and Stefan's like. Hides behind a car, runs out into the street, looks back, does a comical run, and runs away, right? And then he's like, he goes to apologize to the coach. He's like, "Hey, yeah, you know what? Last game of the season, last game of my career, I want to apologize." He's like, "I knew you were at my house that night. You're not on the team anymore. Fuck you." And so then he's like, "Well, how am I ever going to get to college now? How am I ever going to become an engineer?" So then essentially he starts working in the steel mill and like doesn't break up with his girlfriend, but he's a real dick to her.
Well, he does start working in the steel mill, but he like basically there's a period of time where he's like basically because there's a scene earlier where there's a college that is, I forget what the college was, but they were trying to I think it was Texas A&M.
Is that what it was?
It was something. It was like, yeah, it was a good college. It was recruiting him and he was like, eh. But they acted like.
Is that the very beginning where he's like?
Yeah, so like where there's like a recruiter visiting with him, and he's like, I'm gonna keep my options open. And he kind of basically tells him off. And then there's the like later on where he's like desperately writing letters and calling, trying to get a job, like trying to get it.
That's right.
Get a recruiting from any, just trying to get a scholarship anywhere.
Right. That's right. Then they go to a party. But
you also see where. Coach is also being basically trying to get a job as an assistant somewhere else.
Yeah, like, he's getting the head coaching job at Cal Polytechnic.
I thought it was Demons the back coach.
No, he was the head coach.
No, it was Demons the back.
Okay, whatever. No, because the defensive back, I didn't think assistant coaches can offer full ride scholarships. Because he offers Stefan a full ride scholarship at the end of the movie.
Leave us a mention. Over at
Cruising Through Cinema.
Podcasters or whatever. If you're listening to this on Spotify, leave us a voicemail and let us know if it was head coach or Demons the back coach. Or somewhere in between. I'm sorry, they changed it. It used to be anchor.fm/the name of our podcast, and they changed it. And now I don't know the URL because it's now Spotify.podcasting/. This show's awesome.com.
It is awesome, isn't it?
It is awesome. But, yeah, so you get the whole moment where Leah Thompson and Tom she basically is like, "Hey, you were kind of an asshole." And why was she all pissed off at him?
It's like he wasn't going to go to college. He didn't really want to, like, anymore. He was just like, "I'm just going to stay in the steel mill and work. And I don't love you, and I don't want to be with you." He's, like, pushing her away.
Yeah, and Leah, whatever her name was in the film, Leah Thompson.
I'll just call her Marty McFly's mom. Marty's mom.
Foxy McFly. Which, that sounds like somebody Shaft would have made it with.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, Foxy McFly is trying to help him get a scholarship, and so she basically talks to Coach's wife and is like, "Hey,
yeah, he didn't.
I ain't got a chance, but he's got a chance. Can you tell your husband to give him a chance?"
And then, like, she sneaks into his house and they fuck. Like she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "What are you doing?" And then she like takes off her top. and they get it on like Donkey Kong.
She goes full, I forget the name of the character in Grease, but basically how she's like a goody two shoes all through Grease, and then at the end Sandy? She wears the black leather. Yeah, she's Sandy. She pulls a Sandy.
And then like the
that's what we're gonna call it. She pulls a Sandy, where she just becomes a dirty, dirty, dirty woman.
The director must have been like, "All right, Leah Thompson, take off your clothes now." Like
pulled the Sandy. But this is a cruising through cinema podcast where we talk about Tom Cruise. Just that Tom Cruise didn't think it was right that she was going to be naked in that scene, so he insisted that he also disrobe.
You would think, though, in the 80s, you could do some personal grooming. But Tom Cruise just decided to go all natural in Bush City. Bush City, USA.
Yeah. Good for Tom.
They have sex, and then, like, he's working at the still. Like, he's resigned to his fate. He's going to live here in his hometown. He's going to work at the steel mill. He's going to marry his girlfriend. They're going to live happily ever after. Shift ends one day. She's standing at the top of the stairs. He greets her, kisses her. He's like, "Hey, honey, how are you?" Blah, 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 blah. And then he sees Coach. And he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And the coach is like, "Hey, I was addicted to do what I did. I'd like to offer you a full ride scholarship to Cal Polytechnic." And Tom Cruise shits his pants, literally.
He kind of hesitates. And I honestly thought he was going to turn him down.
I thought he was too.
And I'm kind of glad he didn't.
He offers him a full ride with his dad, his brother, and his girlfriend there watching. And then, because it's twofold.
My critique is the film did not earn that moment.
It didn't. He gets to play defensive back on a full ride scholarship in college, and he also gets to go to an engineering school.
Yes. But the coach was a complete jackass.
He was. I would be like, "No, fuck you."
Yeah, so the coach basically ruined his life and basically has him by the ball still. But if Tom Cruise is smart, he transfers after his freshman year.
Exactly. You go there, you get your scholarship, you ball out your freshman year.
You transfer to USC.
No, he wants to be an engineer, so he transfers to Rose Holman.
Purdue.
Rose Holman.
I don't think you go to Division III. If you're D1 talent, you don't go to D3.
Cal Polytechnic? Oh, wait, that's the University of Cal, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that is D1. I forgot. Yeah.
Movies, overall, I enjoyed the movie. It's got some flaws. I don't think it necessarily... The coach is just a complete jackass.
Yeah, if there's a villain of this film, it's Coach, 110%.
And, like, he's very unlikable.
Very, very unlikable.
And maybe we're just from a different era, and our football coach was kind of an idiot, but he was at least like was polite and Catholic and nice.
Yeah, but he was an idiot, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, nice guy.
Saw him at the gym a couple days ago. That was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but my point is, like, he. The coach, he plays a very different coach in the film, or in the TV show Coach. And this actually makes me want to go watch Coach.
Right? Me too.
I hadn't thought of Coach in probably decades.
Me as well.
But, and it was honestly, it was kind of funny, because like when I watched it, I'm like, "Wait a second, I know him." And then I'm like, "Wait a second. The coach is Coach."
The coach is Coach.
So, yeah, I enjoyed the film. I would say I would recommend it for people who like Tom Cruise. It's not like what I would call the quintessential Tom Cruise film, but it's a nice little... Just not something you really ever get again with Tom Cruise.
Right, because he kind of gets out of this typecast role, this mold. In the next few movies he's in.
Yeah. But they portrayed football pretty well.
Yeah, I agree.
The story, like I said earlier, I think they were trying to do, like, the script was trying to be more up its own butt with the, like, commentary on, like, the general, like, steel town getting kind of pushed aside by society, and the town, like they laid off all the people and like the town had bad prospects, and like, it was, that was maybe a little dated. So right.
Yeah, I agree.
I enjoyed film, but like that message wasn't really relevant too yeah. much. So I think that hurts its overall potential. But like, I think I would say this was a good movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Very watchable. Very watchable. It's free. I would never pay to watch this film again.
No, me either.
But I enjoyed it.
I agree. And yeah, I don't think I'd pay for it. I'd watch it, but I don't think I'd pay for it.
Yeah. So currently, we definitively rank all Tom Cruise's films in chronological order. Right now, the standings are as such. We have number 5, Endless Love. Number 4, Outsiders. Number 3, Taps. Number 2 is Losing It. And 1 is Risky Business. Where do we slot this? This is tricky because, like, if for instance, if you're thinking it's better, like, you enjoyed it more than Outsiders, but I'm thinking it's somewhere in the 2 to 5 range. Endless Love still is definitely the worst.
Absolutely, 110%, yes.
Risky Business is still the best.
Agreed.
But the middle area is wide open. I don't think this is as good as a film as... Like, overall, I would rather rewatch Taps. But from a Tom Cruise perspective, I think it's better than Taps.
Yeah.
And I think so. Or do you... Where are you thinking? Do you like it more than Losing It?
No.
Losing It was a film, I think, ahead of its time. I enjoyed it tremendously.
I did, too. I really did.
It was a little juvenile, but there's... It was that script would hold up today.
Right.
No, like, Losing It's still a good film.
Yeah, I think I put this
Taps is a bit heavy-handed in Tom Cruise.
I think I put this at 3, honestly.
Yeah, my argument is it's either 3 or 4. Outsiders just kind of very bleh. So do we think it's better than Taps or worse than Taps? So you think it's the new number 3?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is the new number 1. I mean, the new number 3.
All the Right Moves is the new number 3. Taps, you're number 4. Sorry. Taps was just too heavy-handed.
So we go Risky Business.
Yep.
Losing It. All the Right Moves, Taps, and then Endless Love.
You know, Outsiders, then Endless Love.
Outsiders and Endless Love, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I agree. I like it too.
Next week, we have the much maligned Legend, which is a film neither of us have seen.
Yeah.
Based on the description, a young man must stop the Lord of Darkness from destroying daylight and marrying the woman he loves. Directed by Ridley Scott.
Really?
Starring Tom Cruise.
Ridley Scott?
Panned by everyone. This can't be bad, can it?
It might be.
It's got Tim Curry in it.
I understand, but...
And Tim Curry plays Darkness.
Well, I guess. I don't know. I guess
what? I mean, I don't understand how it could be so bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's got his love interest is Sloane from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Really?
Yes. I've had this circled since we started the show.
Really?
I am so excited. It doesn't seem like it could be bad. It's a fantasy like epic, but with Tom Cruise, directed by Ridley Scott.
I understand.
How can it be bad?
I don't know.
Let's see what the writer is known for. The writer is known... Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know what the writer is known for besides Legend?
No.
Exactly. He's known for a show called a movie. His best thing. Excuse me, that's a novel. No, never mind. It's based on a novel called Angel Heart. Huh. And then the next thing that's not legend is something called The Georgia Peaches that was a direct TV movie, and something called Thunder and Lightning.
Ooh.
So this was his like one chance to make it in the movies, and he did not.
Yeah, well, I mean, usually if you have Ridley Scott, Tim Curry, Ferris Bueller, you know, Sloan from Ferris Bueller, and Tom Cruise, you should be okay with a movie. But yeah, you're kind of screwed yourself if that was the case.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that this can be bad. This came out in 1985, so Tom Cruise had 2 years off. Worked on this epic film called Legend that was a massive flop. I've got to figure out how I can watch it. But, yeah, we got Legend next week.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway, do you have any parting words of wisdom?
If your coach tries to tell you not to tackle the receiver because you'll get pinned for it and lose in a game, don't tackle the receiver until he has the ball.
Yeah, and I would say God's watching. Put that crucifix in your pocket. This has been Cruising Through Cinema. I'm Dennis.
I'm Dyer.